Welcome to the October 25th edition of the Go Fast and Win podcast, powered by the Sharp Plays and TSP.live. All right, folks, we got a win last week. San Francisco, the My Handicapping Game of the Week of the Year, comes through, helps push the TSP Live parlay along, a nice parlay winner, which concluded with Detroit on Monday. So very good, 2-3 on the season. Time to get the record to 3-3 this week and then actually make the My Handicapping Game of the Week of the Year an asset to the podcast versus a detriment to it. A couple quick things I wanted to say before I get into the podcast. Number one, you know, if you don't already, play it at 1.5. Play this at 1.5 or 2x speed. Get you through it a lot faster. I try to talk at a pace so that if you want to speed it up, it's not like listening to the Chipmunks or something. So hopefully that works for you. Also, I do tend to break these up in sort of like chapters. I'll do this introduction here, then I'll pause it, save that file, then I'll move on to the next one. It makes it easier for me to edit the segments, because really when it comes to editing is being a little generous, I would say. You know, if I do a shitty segment, I can just delete it and redo the segment versus having to redo the whole podcast. And I know there's advanced software out there and things I can use. I have no interest in really learning that stuff yet, at least. Possibly in the future, I never write anything off. But for now, my goal is just to talk and get a lot of information in your hands and out to you versus having you sit there and read. I know I could put, you know, 25 pages of content into a podcast and exponentially more people will listen to it and absorb it than would ever read 25 pages of anything I typed. So the goal of the podcast isn't to be, you know, some sort of fancy thing. It's really just to get a lot of information in your hands and hear it out of a voice, gives a little more emotion to it, and can, you know, tone doesn't come across in typing. So that's the goal of the podcast. And with that said, I'm going to cover this week the experiment that I talked about last week and also get into a little more strategy of hot and cold runs and a lot about betting expectations. A lot of people have issues with betting expectations and it throws a big wrench into their gambling careers or their desire to win money. So we'll get into that. And of course, we'll have another My Handicapping Game of the Week of the Year ahead. So thank you for listening, checking it out this week, and let's dive into things. All right, so before I get to the main topic for this week, I want to touch on something that I discussed last week, and that was the streak breaker. And, you know, a lot of people look back on this past week and go, well, we didn't, you know, print money all week. No, the goal of the streak breaker isn't, I mean, obviously it's to get you back on track. And yes, a monster week would be a great way to do that. But the goal of the streak breaker is more about the mental game, just like I talked about last week. The goal is to clear your head and to get you into a good frame of mind. Because when you're losing, you're a negative person, you're miserable, you're angry with people, you're angry with yourself. It's just a bad environment, and it kind of just feeds on itself almost like a cancer, where it just gets worse and worse and exponentially grows faster and faster, this negativity around you. So you have to do something that's going to break that negativity. What is that? It can vary person to person. For me, last week, Monday, I was out of town. I was out of the country. It allowed me to change my perspective on things. It got me out of the bunker and put me out in the world. It got me to do something I enjoy. It got me to clear my head. It got me to do a reset, and it changed my daily routine. All these things helped to put me into a better frame of mind. And yes, I would attribute that better frame of mind for the success of the portfolio over this past week. Now, did the portfolio gain 27 units? No. But in a week where the public absolutely killed it, okay, if you go and you look, and you don't have to trust me on this, if you look at whatever is, you know, you can search this on Twitter, BetMGM, they had all five of their top plays that people were betting on. So the, you know, the number of tickets is really the way they measure that. The top five bets from a ticket standpoint, those games went 5-0, all chalks at BetMGM. You go over to DraftKings, they reported two different things. First of all, it's on the same topic, of course. First of all, favorites 9-1 straight up this past week. That's huge for the public. Public only loves favorites. 9-1 favorites this past week. And 4-1. So the top ticket games, the top five ticket games at DraftKings went 4-1 against the spread. So BetMGM reported 5-0 for their top ticket games. and DraftKings 4-1 for their top ticket games. Very big week for the public. Tough week for sharps, as again, they underperformed as the losing TSP Live Radar would show. But despite all that, the TSP portfolio had a winning week. And given I can't direct what sharps do, I'm just reporting on it as, well, that's what the TSP Live Radar is there for. But despite their performance, we were able to outperform. And yes, I would attribute that to a positive mental game to clear the head, not force plays, think of a good angle, look at the market clean with clean eyes, not tired eyes from, you know, being in the same situation, the same routine. And it worked. We cashed a nice parlay. It was a winning week. We move on. What would be the best streak breaker for you? It could be any number of things. It should be something that takes you away for at least a couple hours. If you can do a day, 2 days, a week, the longer the better. I mean, you don't have to go away for 6 months into a Tibetan monastery and relax up there. It doesn't have to be that intense. It doesn't have to be going out of the country for a week or whatever. That's a benefit of being a professional gambler, is a lot of them do travel. They do take trips regularly to clear their head, get their game back. Because when you're betting every single day, shit just starts spinning in your eyes. You just see numbers, teams, everything. It just becomes a cluster. And you need to get out and look at other things and do other things. When you're home, when you're in your office, you're just looking in that same environment every day. You need to break out of it. You need to go somewhere. It doesn't have to be somewhere new. If you're a traveler, it can be somewhere old that you enjoy. You just get there, you start walking around, you go to a nice restaurant. All these different things are changing your routine. And again, now you start to look at things in a different way. For some people, yeah, they'll go to their cabin over the weekend. They'll go fishing. They'll go hunting. They'll see a friend. They'll, you know, whatever it might be, but it should be something that you enjoy. It should be something that takes at least a couple hours, if not a day, 2 days or more. And it should be something that allows you to still stay in contact with the betting market so you can kind of peek in, get a feel, gauge the temperature, and then get ready to get back in the game and attack. You will be shocked what a difference it makes in your game just having something that works for you. Again, it has to work for you, though. What works for somebody else will not necessarily work for you. You might enjoy, you go and visit with grandma for 4 or 5 hours and you have some of her pasta and that's it. You're back in the game and ready to go. You had time at her house. It changed your routine. It changed your environment. And away you go. It's amazing what the little things that make a big difference for your mental game. So I apologize, went a little longer than I wanted to, but hopefully that helps. And let's get into the main topic for this week. For the main topic this week, what I want to get into is betting reality and betting expectations. So many people have these completely distorted views of professional betting. You are sold forever from your first day when you decide to be a sports bettor and you place that first bet. There's always people out there selling you on plays and selling you on games and selling you on bullshit and things that don't exist that are out there. For example, you'll get the touts that are, you know, I'm hitting 60% over the last 8 years. I'm sorry if you can't hear me right now. It's the engine in my private jet. I'm on my way to Vegas. You see these 8 duffel bags full of cash. You know, it's all this bullshit, but people buy into it because that's cool. You know, who doesn't like women, private jets, sports cars, flying to Vegas whenever you want. Wonderful. It's exciting. It sounds great. It sucks in those novice gamblers who are starting out with their $200 bankrolls. And there is nothing wrong with starting out with a $200 bankroll. That's what I started with. I was a $5 per unit better when I began. So this is not to put down the new gambler. It's just to illustrate that when someone is betting that level and sees some guy with the sports car, the private jet, and all the show, that it's very attractive to them and they want to buy into that dream. Oh, great. I get to be a sports bettor. It's easy. I'll be flying around. I really don't work that hard. It's going to be an awesome life. And that is not anywhere near the reality of a professional gambler. Yes. Can private jets be involved? Absolutely. Sports cars? Sure. You got to enjoy the money that you're winning. A beautiful house? Why not? Women? Of course. But the reality is that you're hustling to do that. You're not just living a life of leisure where you only spend 20 minutes a day picking games and then you're making millions of dollars a year betting sports. That is absolutely not how it works. Ask Billy Walters, read his book. You're getting data, you're getting intel, you're getting source information, you're handicapping the games, you're trying to stay up. There is a lot of time involved in it. So the good news, though, is because of the time that you put in, there is some freedom that you get in the job. You know, my ability to fly out last Monday and be out of the country for over a week is because of the flexibility of sports gambling. And I think that, yes, you know, it's not wrong to be attracted to the benefits down the line that you can get through sports gambling. It's just important to understand that they come through time and effort. You're not going to get there overnight. I started as a $5 per unit bettor with a $200 bankroll back in the 90s. Today, yes, I enjoy a very good life because of it. But if you do that math, that's roughly 30 years later. And yes, it hasn't just come in the past 2 years. It's been about the past, I would say, 15 years that it's been a very healthy, enjoyable lifestyle. But you have to still work for it. You know, it's still 15 years to get to that point of being able to enjoy it. But you put in your time, you pay the dues, you get an understanding of how professional gambling works. You can get there too. I say it all the time because it is true. I am nobody special. If I could do it, you absolutely can do it. But you have to commit to the fact that you're not going to start this year with a $200 bankroll and next year be flying in your private jet. It takes time to build up your dream, whatever that is. It takes time to get there. And that requires you to accept betting reality. This is where the reality versus expectation issue comes in for a lot of gamblers. They expect that professional gambling means you win 3 weeks, you lose one, but you only lose a little bit of money in that one, and then you win another 3 weeks and life is great again. And what I'm leading into is a message that I got from a TSP subscriber. Now, I do not consider this person an idiot. I may disagree with his position or his approach, but I'm understanding of the point that he's not coming at it from being a douche. He's coming at it from simply not having the experience in professional gambling or in gambling to realize how the game is played. And so basically his message, and I'll kind of, paraphrase a lot of it, but starts out, "I understand we don't win every week or every month, but after looking at my account, October has been a rough month, correct? I only bet TSP Portfolio, Hermes, and TSP Insiders, and I had given back a lot of gains from September. Now, the stats that I'm looking at, basically from the end of August through to October 1st, the TSP Portfolio picked up 11.01%. Hermes AI picked up 14.42%, and TSP Insiders went 7-3 for plus 3.7%. When you add all that up, it's plus 29.13%. And what that means is if you follow the strategy that I do, which is following both the all three of the items of you follow the TSP portfolio for the risk listed, you follow Hermes AI for the risk that's detailed on the Hermes AI page, which is tsp.live/Hermes. There's a scale based on score and what you have as your base wager. For example, a 30 to 39 score for Hermes is a 1% wager. A 40 to 49 score for Hermes is a 1.25% base wager. And what a base wager means is if you're getting a plus money line, so even if it's a spread, but it's, you know, plus 100 or mostly known as even money for most professionals, you're risking 1.25% to win 1.25%. If it's a standard, you know, point spread where it's -3, -110, then you're risking 1.375% to win 1.25%. So 1.25% is your base wager, and that's how that works. And then, of course, you're wagering on TSP Insiders at a 1% base wager for all those. So if you did that, which is the strategy I've outlined for myself, but I do say it is not for everyone, you have to make sure you're okay with that level of risk, you would have had bankroll growth of 29.13% from August 28th through to October 1st. That is an incredible gain. Okay, if you have a $100,000 bankroll, meaning you're betting $1,000 a unit, you picked up almost 30 grand in September. There's going to be regression. You're not just going to pick up 30 grand in September and October. You're going to pick up five, and then November, you're going to pick up 20 again. And there's going to be regression. And sometimes that regression is 100% or more of what you gained recently in a run. It would not be out of the statistical realm if October we lost 30 units. Now, I don't want to say that. I don't want to put that in the universe. But that can happen, and it wouldn't mean that there's some sort of dysfunction with the Sharp Plays content. Yes, it would be annoying. It would be frustrating. But people tend to go, oh my God, well, if I win it, I should never give it back. It's going to happen. You're going to have drawdowns. The TSP portfolio last year was the core content of TSP Live. This year we have Insiders, we have Hermes AI, but last year was the portfolio. The portfolio was up 94%. That means your bankroll grew by 94%. It almost doubled from January of 2024 to middle of November of 2024. Not even a full year, you almost doubled your bankroll just following TSP portfolio. And then it went on a cold streak. And that cold streak saw so many people melt down and tantrum and go crazy that it was incredible. And all it did was take back 19%. You go, oh my God, 19%, that's crazy. That's gambling. It's not crazy. We could have lost 50% in December, and it still would have been a very strong year. Why? Because 94% and you give back 50 units or 50%, not 50% of that, but 50 percentage points, you're now down to a 44% gain. So your bankroll grew 44% in that year, even though you lost 50% in, or 50 units, probably better described that way. I know this percentage stuff is going to throw some people off. So you lost 50 units in December. That would still be a very good year. And you go, okay, yeah, I don't like a drawdown, but you know those units are going to come back at some point, and that's the key. That is what I talked about last week, where I said I could be at a dinner and I could lose a six-figure wager and you will never know. My demeanor won't change. And the reason is because the perspective that I have. Because I know that while it sucks that I lost that six-figure wager, and I may lose another six-figure wager and even another one after that before I finally get running again, but I know that regardless of what I lose, regardless of how it goes, that eventually I will get that money back. So there's no reason to be sad. There's no reason to panic. There's no reason to fall in the abyss. There's no reason to go crazy. Oh my God, I just lost this bet. Okay. It's temporarily, that money is just temporarily out of my control, but it's coming back. It will definitely be back. And just like last year, where the TSP portfolio was up 94% into mid-November, and then we gave back 19% or 19 units into the end of the year, and gave back more units in January and February of 2025, but guess what? We've got all that back. We got the losses from last December back. We got all the losses from January and February back. And we have a profitable year for TSP portfolio. Oh, yeah. And because of the expansion to Hermes AI, we have another 53% bankroll growth just because of that as well. So see what I mean? The losses came back. Yes, it sucks to lose in that moment. But the only way that gets to you, the only way it becomes emotional, is if you believe you're never getting it back. If you believe that, oh my God, I lost it, I want it back, and it's never going to come, that's where you lose it, because you think it's never going to come back to you. It always does. So yes, we made 29%, 29 units, 29% bankroll growth in September. In October, we've given back about 11% of that, or you know, I should say 11 units. The percentage thing is going to get wacky here because people are going to think 11% of 29% and all that. So I'll just use units to make it easy. So we won 29 units, 29.13 units in September. We gave back 11.74 units in October. We're still up 18 units on the season. And you know what's going to happen? At some point, those 11 units that we have given back in October are going to come back to us again as well. So why are we panicking? Why are we shitting our pants? Why are we worried that October's awful and life is awful and everything else? It's going to come back. But when you look at your performance over the course of a year in gambling, it's a wild ride. And as I told this person, this can be a sample year in your sports betting, and this would be a highly successful year. Because an SMU study, I love to reference this study, last year, SMU did a study of 700,000 gamblers at domestic sportsbooks, 700,000. 96% of them lost money. 96%. So if you win just one unit on the year, you're in the top 1%, excuse me, top 4% of gamblers. If you win just one unit a year, anything more than that, now you're getting into the gravy. So if your year went like this, and this is month by month, these are month by month results. It's just made up numbers, but I want to just illustrate a picture. Plus 15 units, minus 8 units, minus 13 units, plus 8 units, plus 12 units, minus 10 units, plus 13 units, minus 6 units, plus 8 units, plus 9 units, minus 4 units, plus 11 units. That year, month by month, as I just described it, would see 35% bankroll growth. 35%. If winning just 1% or one unit puts you in the top 4%, what does winning 35% or 35 units in a year put you? And that's the point. But when you look at what went on in that year, you won 15 units in January, but then you lost 21 units over February and March. You were actually in the negative going into April, and then you won. Now imagine how people would react if they paid for 3 months of TSP Live and after those 3 months, you were negative on the year. People go crazy, but that's gambling. That's how it goes. You ride out the long term. If you're measuring your success in gambling on a month-by-month basis, like this gentleman, and again, I do not mean this in a negative way towards him. I get the question. I respect him for bringing it. He was, even if it's a question I disagree with, I know where he's coming from and I'm happy to address it. He's coming at it and looking at it and go, we just won 29 units. Now I'm giving some back. That's gambling. There's no other way to put it, no other description that I can add. So you have to be ready for these fluctuations. If you can handle these fluctuations, it's a great story every single year. Last year, bad drawdown in December, bad drawdown at the end of November, but it still saw your bankroll grow 75%. This year, your bankroll is up almost 75% and it's only October. Yes, we've given some back, sure, but everything is winning on the year. Portfolio is up, Hermes is up, TSP Insiders are up. Why are we complaining? Why are we worried? Why are we sweating 1 month when every time any losses that occur come back at some point? Yes, there could be a run where October we lose 10 units, November we lose 10 units, December we lose 20 units. Go, oh my God, that's 40 units. Well, first, it's still a winning year, even if that's how it played out. And second, those units, I promise you, will come back. Just like I promised you in December, I said, sit back. I can't fast forward you. But if you look ahead to April and May, you would see all this money we lost here came back to us and then some on top. And that's exactly what happened. So go into gambling with good expectations. And the best way to keep yourself in the right frame of mind when it comes to losing is simply trusting the system, trusting the process, and believe that even though you lost today, you will get that money back sometime. Not tomorrow necessarily, not next week, maybe not even next month or the month after that. But over time, that money is coming back to you if you have a winning system, if you have a proven method, and the Sharp Plays has had 15 years of profits year after year. So just trust the process and don't panic and don't assess your gambling on a month by month basis. You will only drive yourself crazy. Because if you went through this year that I spit out as a sample year, by April, you would be off of TSP Live. You'd be pissed off at me. You'd be going crazy over the content. You'd complain that everybody on the Sharp Plays team are idiots. And yet if you just rode out the whole year, you would have been in the top 2-3% of gamblers for that year with your 35% gain. And I will note before I close this section that the worst year the Sharp Places ever had was a 60% or 60 unit gain. So what are we complaining about? Take the losses, trust that the wins will come back at some time. Don't put a timeline on, oh, we lost this week. By next week, I better have the money back. By next month, I better have the money back. Just trust it's coming. It always has. It always does. But it requires patience and betting reality to be a success in this business. How about we try to get some of that 11% that we're down in October after that juicy 29% profit in November? Let's get some of that 11% back this week with the My Handicapping Game of the Week of the Year. Now, 2-3 on the season. Let's bring it back to 500. How are we going to do it? Oh, you're going to love it. We're going to go with Cleveland. Plus 7, which I will buy to 7.5, I should say that, over New England. Why do I like the game? This past week, sharps were on Tennessee. And to me, they were on Tennessee, not because Tennessee is a good team, because they are not. They were on Tennessee because they felt New England was overvalued. And if New England was overvalued last week and then kicked the shit out of Tennessee and got an easy cover for the public, they're going to be even more overvalued this week. There is absolutely no way that the book is going to make New England a value, and probably not even going to make New England a neutral value, because they know the public is going to be all over them. So you want to make New England a negative value, knowing the public is still going to bet New England, and potentially drawing in some sharp money on Cleveland to offset the market and minimize your leverage in case the Patriots continue to be a covering machine. I don't think they will continue to be a covering machine. While I think it is a good turnaround, I think they have a quality team. I also think we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. Cleveland, yes, they have a ton of issues, but I do like their defense. I do think they can play and stay competitive here. So I'm going to go with Cleveland plus the 7, which I will buy up to 7.5 as the my handicapping game of the week of the year. Over New England, let's get back to 3-3, .500 on the season, and then we'll build a run off of that. Now, I know a lot of people ask me, what do you think about Ole Miss, Oklahoma this week? It was a heartbreaker this past week. I was, again, overseas watching on my laptop as Ole Miss played better than I actually expected of them. They were competitive, got the lead, looked great. I thought they were going to win. And then they got stopped on a couple series and they could not stop Georgia. And so when you're both scoring every single time you have the ball, you got to stop your opponent at least once if you're going to beat them. And Ole Miss just could not do it. Georgia ends up with the win. And now Ole Miss finds themselves in a position where they're kind of in a must-win situation. You know, if they lose here, they could drop out of the top 12. And then that puts them in the spot of trying to get back into the top 12. But they have no real marquee opponents coming up. They play Florida, but Florida's a disaster. They play South Carolina. South Carolina isn't anything special. Mississippi State for the Egg Bowl is probably their most competitive game ahead. But you have to win this Oklahoma game if you want to stay relevant in the college football playoff. Ole Miss is getting 5.5. Yes, that's great. If they're, you know, if I like them to win, the 5.5 is even better. One concern is that Lane Kiffin gave them some good bulletin board material. And he said that Oklahoma tapes the other team, records the other team's signals, and then uses that against them. And he was talking about how during the, I believe it was the Auburn game, that Oklahoma's safeties were coming down and corners were coming down and jumping different routes and things like that. And the only way they would know what was going on is if they were getting Auburn signals. And so that's something that I would definitely point out is an interesting angle here. It's going to get Oklahoma fired up. The last thing you want is, you know, to get some team pissed off when you absolutely need a win and you're in their stadium. So it's going to be a rough environment for Ole Miss. I honestly don't know what I would take here. Yes, of course, my heart says Ole Miss money line, Ole Miss plus the points. They got to get this win if they want to stay relevant in the college football playoff, because their schedule is sketchy moving forward, except for the Mississippi State game, which is the Egg Bowl after Thanksgiving. They're going to pull it all out. I don't know if they can do it. I hope I get some more information later this week. If I do, I will absolutely put it on Twitter, Telegram, so you can take a look, and I'll let you know the best I can get on the game. Perhaps it'll be something on the total. I don't know, again, what I would do there. College football totals are always a crapshoot to me. Yeah, I would lean to the over because nobody can stop anybody, but sometimes when you see a game where nobody stops anybody, then the next game becomes some sort of wacky defensive battle. So for the most part, all I can say on Ole Miss, Oklahoma right now is I hope Ole Miss wins, but I have no quality intel one way or another. So keep an eye on Twitter, on Telegram, and I will definitely discuss the game there as we get closer. And hopefully as some information comes in, some sharp betting comes in, and I can get a little more perspective on which way to go in that game. And that's going to be it, folks. I don't have a My Two Cents this week. I wanted to go a little longer with the recap of the streak breaker real quick and then the discussion of this week's topic. So I'm going to let you go here. I hope you've enjoyed the episode. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you also for the incredible feedback. I really appreciate the feedback. I'm glad you enjoyed last week's episode. It's always nice when the content hits home. Every time I do one of these episodes, I close it out and I always think, yeah, I should just delete it. That wasn't that good. I try to bring the best that I can. So again, hopefully it helps. Hopefully you get some good information here. If it doesn't help, here's the good news. If this week's episode sucked, I apologize for wasting your time. I will always try to do better next week. So hopefully I'll see you back next week. Good luck. Cash some tickets. Go Rebels. And let's bring Cleveland back home for a winner. Get to 3-3 on the season for the My Handicapping Game of the Week of the Year. Let's do it.